Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for July 9th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our two of two and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers are one of the peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Chris Carlson is with me for the second hour. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty.
Georgia Guidestones. Very, very, very strange. So in Georgia, there's what's called the Georgia Guidestones. And in the 1980s, I can't remember exactly when, right around 1980 or so, somehow these Georgia Guidestones just got put up and no one knows how, why, or where, or what. But they were instantly put up. And they've been there for quite some time, Chris.
Yeah, they've been there for these last, 40 years, 40 plus years. And no, yeah, that's the mystery. Nobody can really tell whether that was a private endeavor or a public endeavor paid for by taxpayer dollars. It ends up that it was a public endeavor. You know, the globalists, they always like to use our money to accomplish their objectives, as you know. An interesting event occurred. As you mentioned, somebody came along with a big bomb and blew about a third of it sky high, and it sounds like they're going to demolish the rest of the structure. And
they already did.
I would say good riddance. They already did. Okay, good. They already did.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I'll say good riddance.
This is the interesting thing. This whole thing from the beginning to the end is interesting. Number one, it materialized out of nowhere with no explanation. It got destroyed in a way out of nowhere with no explanation. They've got some person on video that runs up and blows it up on video, but they don't know who it is. Of course, they don't have any driver's license plate information or anything else to track the person. For some strange reason, and this is what makes me think conspiracy theory on this one, because, you know, what's interesting, it was literally demolished completely within hours of the initial bombing. So bombing destroyed part of it, and then intentional demolition took it down. They claimed that it was too dangerous if they left it standing after that. But when do you see, you don't rope it off, you don't cordon it off, you don't declare it a crime scene, you don't do any of these things. You just simply get rid of the whole thing. We'll never find out who did this with that kind of action, because all the markers, all the signatures now, well, which is the demolition versus which was the bomb versus who did what? You'll never, ever be able to know. I believe that's intentional and smacks of serious problems, Chris.
Yeah, and it does sound very suspicious, Sam. I will admit that. And I'm, you know, always looking for ulterior motives for that having happened. So what would be their motives, Sam? How would the international order gain from somebody having blown it up and then having the structure destroyed? Do you think they want to get rid of it because it's drawing too much attention to their agenda?
Well, so let's talk a little bit about what the Georgia Guidestones are. Yes, it was kind of a monument, if you will, put up in Georgia. Yes, it was created in the 80s, and no one knows how it really got there. Yes, it sat there for 40 years, and now it's demolished under very strict. Everything about the whole Georgia Guidestones smacks of conspiracy and strange happenings, to say the least, right? Well, let's talk about what it was supposed to symbolize and what it was. There's actually, as far as I understand, attributions of intentions to these Georgia Guidestones. They're not just stones. There's a whole philosophy behind it, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the interesting aspect of this. That's why we're talking about it, because there are 10 commandments or 10 precepts upon which, this, whoever constructed it, wants society to be based upon. So let's go. You want to start off with number one?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Okay, the number one is probably the most controversial one, the one that people cite the most frequently, Sam. It says, and this is word for word, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. And I assume that's 500 million human beings. I don't think they're talking about it. Other organisms. But
yeah, and the problem with this whole scenario is its population, not only control in terms of not increasing the population, which is usually what's thought of with population control. This is intentional population reduction to the point of about 500,000 people. And the assumption is that somehow some whacked out person, though, decided that that was what was balanced with nature. That's the amount of people that the Earth could support, assuming kind of a godlike role in this, in my opinion, immoral, dishonest, satanic assumption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would require, Sam, that we eliminated about 7.4 billion people from planet Earth today. Assuming
maybe even
going
a little bit more nowadays.
Well, yeah, our population is around 7.8 billion. We're pushing 8 billion people on the planet Earth. So, yeah. So how, I mean, are they going to do that through attrition, or are they going to do that through vaccination? Are they going to do that through war, or all
yes,
of the above?
Yes.
So that should, you know, raise red flags in the minds of citizens who are concerned, world citizens, not just national citizens, who are concerned about their own survival and the survival of their individual families. Yeah, that is concerning.
But the first tenet of the Georgia Guidestones are, we have got to have serious population reduction to about 500 million people. Insane. Next one.
Yep. Number two, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. So again, it's very vague. Guide reproduction, which would, I'm sure, entail abortion, because that's
yes.
the quickest way to, nowadays, to guide reproduction, I would assume.
On one hand, this is very vague. On the other hand, this focuses directly on eugenics, Chris.
Yeah, eugenics. Which has always been popular amongst, all the way back hundreds of years. They think that the population is corrupted through allowing degenerates, imbeciles, morons, and these are specific terms that are scientifically based. They think there are too many dumb people on the earth, and they think that they're, as the elitists, that they should, seed should be favored over those of these inferior beings.
Well, it's the only kind thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not only for humankind, but for Gaia, which if you know anything about modern-day mythology, Gaia is Mother Earth, and they believe that Mother Earth has just as much legitimacy to live legitimately, or, you know, live comfortably as human beings. I mean, she has just as much right to, you know, her favoritism as human beings, which I agree, but yeah, disagree, because I have some interesting beliefs about planet Earth. I believe that the Earth is a living organism and that God created it. But I think she is favored by righteous people living upon her. And I think that she is disturbed by wicked people living upon her. And that she groaneth.
God's law is
sin.
That the earth was created for man in a positive interaction, a positive involvement or stewardship, if you will. Whereas Satan believes and teaches that the earth and humans are at complete odds and always will be, except for the chosen few.
Yes. Yep. And eventually, you know, those will be eliminated by Satan. See, Satan, you know, he pretends to favor certain groups of people when in fact he hates us all.
Well, he will jettison them at the end.
He will, yeah. He'll use them until they're used up, and when their utility to him is no longer available, then he'll abandon them just like he abandoned the first group of people that he destroyed from planet Earth. So
all right,
he has no
loyalties
to anybody. Number three, unite humanity with a living new language. And this harkens back to about the first millennial of this Earth's existence, where they were trying to build a tower to get to heaven. Everybody spoke the same language. And God was not happy about either of those two realities. And that's where he confounded the language at the Tower of Babel. So they're trying to looks like they're trying to reconstruct society as it was envisioned during the time of the Old Testament's construction of the Tower of Babel.
But this is a reconstruction in modern times. What they want to do is, God had the religions, or I'm sorry, the languages uniform, and because of the wickedness, it got destroyed, and now languages are divergent. Mm-hmm. What they want to do, though, is consolidate one language under their leadership as they replace God. That's their intention.
Yep. Yep. So, and then God didn't like it back then, and he will not favor it nowadays. Number four, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. So we're going to, looks like we're going to replace religion with reason. In other words, we're going to replace one religion with another, because, you know, anybody's conception of how society should be organized and run is, in fact, a manifestation of one's religion. Humanism is just as much a religion as Christianity, Sam.
Without question. Ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. We've gone through four. We've got a few more. We're talking about the Georgia Guidestones. Very strange happenings. And we'll get to why we think they destroyed it coming up in seconds, too. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off, with America surrendering to terrorists. Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bush with Chris Carlson on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, to say the least. We're talking about the Georgia Guidestones. We're talking about how everything about them is absolutely strange, with the ideology behind it. The most concerning is they promote global governance, flat-out tyranny, communism, under the leadership of a few elite, 500 million of them, which sounds like a lot of people, but when you realize they want the rest of us off the planet, gone, because they somehow believe that will balance nature with the earth. This psychotic, satanic agenda is highlighted in the ideology behind the Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones materialized out of nothing in the 80s. They then now are completely destroyed, part by an unidentified bomber, part by demolition. But everything about them is strange. The ideology is the key. We've talked about the first four kind of principles. Five, Chris?
Number five, and I like this one actually, Sam, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. And who can argue against that, Sam? Surely you don't think that fair laws and just courts should not be upheld, do you? Come on.
Well, this is exactly, though, where we get the Martin Luther King, I have a dream, okay? I agree that we should judge people based on the content of their character, not on the color of their skin. I agree with that ideology. The problem is that when you and I use terms, and they use terms, we're not talking about the same things. So a fair law to you would be, say, equality for all men. All men are equal before God and before the law. They don't believe that, you see. The laws would favor them. And you can see this in Hillary Clinton and in Bill Clinton's interactions. Look, Hillary Clinton literally had an email server that was illegal. There was no accountability or repercussions for that. But, of course, if it was you, you'd be in jail. You'd never see daylight, okay? If it was Hillary Clinton, for example, and she creates a dossier on an opposing candidate for president, and she creates it and funds it, and then, hey, we find out, there's no accountability for her. She's not going to jail. That's just a crazy notion that would be for you. For her, it's okay because, you know what? She's in this special 500 million group. She has special privilege to where you have none. And so it's really these rules apply to thee, not to me mentality. And so when you think, hey, that sounds great. Yeah, it's like the I Have a Dream speech. It does sound great. If it was truly applied morally and righteously, it would be great. The problem is that's not how it's applied. That's not how they implement it. That's not how their view is.
So, Sam, are you suggesting that our benevolent overlords might interpret fair laws and just courts differently than you and I would?
I'm saying that's the fact, and history proves it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you that. I was holding out some hope for these people just for a moment. All right. You brought me back down to earth. Thank you, Sam. Okay. Number six, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Well, I think we've got a world court already in The Hague, don't we? The International Court of Justice.
Yes, but I jettison a world court, and I say that it encroaches on our sovereignty, and we have no authority or no business making treaties or agreements or any other type of contract that would negate or encroach on or infringe on our sovereignty. So to me, we reject that out of hand, and this is where then they'll mock me, saying you're somehow an America firster, or you're a whatever. They'll say that somehow it's race and my white views that drive me to this. And okay, systemically, though, they lie, okay? And the truth is, hey, I don't want our sovereignty breached. I want America to negotiate its relationship with the world from an America point of view, not a global point of view. From an American point of view, our laws – internally are absolutely the authority, and so we're going to respond externally based on that contract with we the people, and anything that goes international then will negate the authority. So government drives its consent or its power from the consent of the governed. It will no longer do that. Government will drive its power from the global entity, and that replacing of authority and sovereignty is the key problem. It's how they want to supplant God. They want to supplant us with a global governance, a body of, quote, elite administrators, think 500 million now, that would maybe do that for us. Okay, but it's ill-advised. It smacks of, in my opinion, criminal activity. Those who would make those agreements have sworn an oath to the supreme law of our land. But then they would betray if they agree to these type of negotiations or agreements of any kind, Chris.
Yeah, and of course, you know, all the underlying implication of all of these principles that they put on the Georgia Guidestones, it implies that we would have to jettison our constitutional protections, especially the Bill of Rights, you know, because everything would then be administered on a global level, local governmental principles would have to be subordinate to that world government. So yeah, that's an implication that they don't mention here, but I just wanted to point that out. So number six, number seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials. Again, they want to emphasize more the global aspect of global government. And as you said, they want to jettison local officials, local laws, local courts, local jurisdictions. They want to jettison that.
And the reasons, the reason they want to jettison what they call petty laws but uphold the law is because they want to create a group that you cannot have levels of accountability for. So once the buck stops with them, the ultimate law, then they're in control and there's nowhere to appeal, my friend. However, when it comes to petty laws, they love the anarchy on the local level because then there's mayhem that only they control. So it leaves you and I to the wolves, but it leaves them for the ultimate no appeal say.
And may I suggest that that's how they're going to eliminate 7.5 billion of us, because once there's chaos at the local level, well, how do you resolve that problem?
You well, they have to crack down. It's only in your best interest, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe that's how they're going to reduce the population by 94%. You know, all of these military interventions to quell rebellions on the local levels. Anyway, number eight, balance personal rights with social duties. Yeah, we hear a lot about that today, don't we?
Yeah, and this is where the deception comes, because when you put those two on the altar together, which one will prevail? The more you insist on your personal rights, the more they'll say you're jettisoning duty. Pretty soon you're going to be a domestic threat to the duty that all normal, right-thinking individuals have, and therefore the flaw in your character is evident. You and old McCarthy and everybody else think somehow that your individualistic notions matter. Well, they do, as long as they don't collide with the general edict from on high, if you will. That's where we're headed with this ideology, folks. That's where it is. And if you go look and study the religions of the United Nations and everything else, they say you can have your own religious beliefs all you want, as long as they don't collide with the general ethical view, though. You got that, Chris?
Yeah.
That's how this is breaking down, folks.
Yes, sir. No, very well put. And I'm going to turn this on. I'm going to read it again. Then I'm going to turn it on its head. Balance personal rights with social duties. I'm going to say your social duty is to respect my personal rights, and I have to reciprocate and do the same to you. And if we do that, we will have social law and order. And that's the best way to maintain it, by respecting individual personal rights. So that's number
eight. True, but they'll have it the opposite way. They will say that the general outweighs the personal, the individual.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how America's been run for the last 230 years, you know, by respecting individual personal rights and holding them sacrosanct.
Time for those extremist white men to be stopped, finally. Finally.
You know,
finally.
Finally. Finally. That's why things are so wonderful today, and nobody wants to go back into the 1950s and 60s when life was so horrible and evil, and, you know, black people were oppressed.
Close my eyes and take me back is all I can say.
Oh, yeah. I'd go back to the 70s in a minute, Sam, if I could. I mean, those were when my greatest memories were realized. Anyway, moving on. We got to move on. Number nine, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Now, if you can interpret that, Sam, I will give you a cookie, because I don't know
Buddy,
what I just read.
Here's my cookie. You know what the infinite stands for, don't you?
I know what it means, but that might not be what they mean.
Well,
you tell me.
The point that you got to understand, infinite to you means God.
Yes.
And infinite to you means all the attributes of God is what they're talking about here, and that's wonderful. Their infinite is Satan, my friend.
Right.
And their
right.
infinite is completely opposite from yours. And so when they say infinite, what they're talking about is infinite tyranny. So you know what? We want you to have the right emotions about our plan. And if you don't, you really need help. Can you stay a little longer, Chris?
Yeah, I'll stay a little longer, Sam.
We'll do number 10 here in seconds. Then we'll let Chris fly, and then I got a bunch of stuff for you, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Intriguing talk radio, is it not? Hang tight. More in seconds on your favorite talk station.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
The White House is encouraging people to be, quote, really careful when using period tracking apps and making online searches for reproductive care in states with stringent abortion restrictions. Jen Klain, director of White House Gender Policy.
I wouldn't say we're directing people, but I think people should be really careful about that. And one of the things that HHS did just last week was, as part of this website and also made public in other ways, is literal instructions, practical instructions of how to delete certain apps that are on your phone so that if you want to protect yourself, you have the ability to do that.
13 U.S. states have so-called trigger laws that would immediately ban abortion, and more states will ban or restrict abortions in the coming months. This is USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
President Biden signed an executive order aimed at protecting access to abortion. He was facing pressure from fellow Democrats to be more forceful on the subject after the Supreme Court ended a constitutional right to the procedure 2 weeks ago. The president blasted the court's decision and urged women and men to vote for pro-choice candidates in November. A man from Florida is being convicted for helping ISIS.
A Florida man will spend 20 years in federal prison for attempting to provide material support to ISIS. The Justice Department announced Romeo Langhorne was sentenced in a case dating back to 2014. In his guilty plea, the 32-year-old man admitted to using social media accounts to voice his support for the terrorist group. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Live and on your radio, Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson, hard-hitting talk, first hour about McCarthyism. Second hour, we're talking about the Georgia Guidestones, ladies and gentlemen. It just got blown up 2 days ago. Strangely, it's not even in the news, hardly. No one's talking about it at all. It appeared from nowhere, and it disappeared from nowhere, but the principles enshrined therein that were sitting there for the last 40-plus years are shocking and really unveils. The attempt of the elite to literally remake the world in their fashion, a tyrannical, abusive, a violation of rights scenario where they're the gods and you and I are the chaff that they lord over. They want to do this through population reduction, through the manipulation of rights, putting them on the altar of global entities. And really, it's the destruction of everything we hold dear, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, number 10.
Yeah, and as you said, Sam, we need to realize for anybody who may think that these are good principles to govern our world by, let me inform you, the elite, the people who are going to be running the New World Order, they're not going to be living by these principles. They're going to foist them upon us. We're going to be required to live by them. Anyway, number 10, be not a cancer.
And one last point to highlight this, how the rules are for thee and not for me. If I'm the elitist, you, my friend, need to start going to work on your bicycle. You need to pedal your way to work. Now, I need to fly around the globe in my jet to make sure that everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing. You got that? See, and that's how it's working. Folks, look, some of these actresses and actors and famous people and politicians, they use more emissions in a day than I use in a year. But see, that mattereth not, because they're the ones that lord over us. They're the ones that have special privilege, because look, they believe they're on a somehow holier than thou greater mission to protect us all from ourselves. See, that's the idea behind this.
Yeah, that's what the definition of elite is, you know, people that don't have to live by the rules that they impose upon us. So, number 10, be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature. And then they repeat that same statement, leave room for nature. So, I guess human
beings... And what does that mean, right?
Yeah,
who decides what room for nature is? See, in my world, in the Bible, God says there's plenty and room to spare. And so he says to multiply and replenish the earth, and that's never been rescinded. And so I believe that we're supposed to have more children, bring more people to the world. I think that's the work and the glory of God to do so. And it's our partnership with him as husbands and wives to provide mortal tabernacles for God's children, God's spirits on the earth. And I believe that God, every time we have more people and every time there's a need, we have advancements in farming. We have advancements in our food production. We have advancements in all kinds of ways. God will take care of his own. But this notion jettisons that and says, look, we don't see a way that humans and nature can coexist unless we drastically scale back the humans to be in balance with our so-called vision of nature or our view. Okay, this is where they again play God, Chris, and they deny the very God in the inception of their idea in the first place.
Yeah, we're supposed to be stewards on this land, and I believe that the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom is actually blessed by the presence of mankind on the earth. Now, that's, and if you'll recall, in the Old Testament, mankind, the creation of mankind just before God rested on the seventh day, was God's crowning achievement. You know, he waited, he saved the best for last, and that was us, Sam. And, you know, we can be a cancer on the earth. I'll say that if we do not exercise our stewardships righteously. But, you know, in as much as we are exercising our stewardships righteously, Sam, I think we can be a net blessing upon planet Earth and not a curse or a cancer.
Well, and who decides that? Is it God Almighty, the author of our liberty? Or is it some star chamber, man-made, the arm of flesh, idea of remaking the world to be in harmony with nature and to leave room for nature and to leave room. Whose nature is it, ladies and gentlemen? If we're talking about God's nature, the nature of God, he created me and you in his image. How are we at odds with nature would be my question. But see, that conversation can only happen, Chris, if you believe in and are willing to look to God for guidance. If you're not willing to, you can't have this conversation.
And therein is the root of our problem, Sam. We've turned our backs on God. And I don't mean to sound like a broken record, because we repeat that principle over and over and over again. To the degree that we turn our backs on God and turn our hearts and our minds and our visions to government for reconciliation for our problems, we will fail. And I would like to read that scripture that you made reference.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
sir.
Go ahead, Sam. So I, and if you don't mind, Sam, I'm going to leave on this note, but I will read that scripture that you did make reference to a few minutes ago. For the earth is full, and there is enough and to spare. Yea, I prepare all things and have given unto the children of men to be agents unto themselves. Doctrine and Covenants, section 104, verse 17. And at that, I will bid you adieu.
Thank you,
I'm
sir.
Sorry. You bet. And have a wonderful day, Sam. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. But that scripture is in a Mormon book called The Doctrine and Covenants. But it's also biblical-based, too. In the Bible, it speaks of there's room enough to spare as well. So let's be very clear about that. Now, I also want to make another point about this view of God. You know, the Georgia Guidestones are a very strange conspiracy theory all from the get-go, from its very inception to its destruction to the principles that were enshrined. I believe the reason that they allowed this to be destroyed primarily is we're starting to get too close. What do I mean by that? We in talk radio are starting to really take them on. Think of the population reduction plan. We've now said at the general level, hey, no abortions, it goes to the states. Is it enough? Absolutely not. Is it a huge start? Without question, yes, it is. And so as we start to get close to them on all these issues about the environment, we're starting to have these battles about, you know, the environment and the best way to go forward. And, you know, do we use nuclear capabilities and power, coal fire power plants, or do we just use wind and solar and hydro and whatever else? You know, this comes down to we're starting to gain the upper hand based on science, based on education, with all these things. Yes, it's good to be a steward of the earth, but no, it's not good to have the government think we're an enemy to the planet, and government's the only one to bring us into harmony. See, that's the problem. Well, anyway, we're getting too close to their 10 guidelines, if you will, guidestones. We're getting too close to these 10 issues in meaningful ways for discussion. And as I mentioned about the Hegelian dialectic, and as I mentioned about projection in the last hour, as I mentioned about these things, they never want to have the real discussion. What they want to do is they want to cast dispersions from the shadows. What they want to do is make their allegations in a situation where they cannot be refuted, or you can't discuss it in a meaningful way. They want to marginalize you. They want to demonize you. They want to separate you from normal society without any rebuttal, without both sides of the story being told. They want to absolutely control the narrative. Well, we're getting so close to their narrative and busting it to pieces to where they want to jettison it. When they think that they can control the narrative, they want to mock you by putting their principles in your face. Thus, the Georgia Guidestones for the last 40 years. But when you get too close to the heart of the discussion, what they don't want is their commitments or their, I'm trying to think of the right word here, their viewpoint, their ideology. They don't want it in front of you for laser-like focus. So when they're not threatened, they want to put it in your face and mock you with it. But when you really get close and there's a real discussion about to happen, what they want to do is they want to then go into their vague attacks in the shadows, because then they don't have to really articulate their view. For example, let's just take a quick example to make the point. If I were to get on international TV, because this is global, remember, they want to deal with everything globally. So if I were to get on international TV and have a debate with some of these folks that want this population control, and I were to have a discussion with them about the eugenics movement and how evil that movement's been, and then they want, and I want to highlight the fact that they want to reduce the population to 500 million people. So look, we're going to get rid of 7.5 billion of us. And I want to highlight that and drill in now and say, listen, your Georgia Guidestones and your elitist propaganda, you want to reduce what? What percent of the planet, right? And it's 90%+, maybe 94% kind of range. Okay. And how do you intend to get rid of these people? And what gives you the authority to have this vision to get rid of these people? See, they don't want to have that discussion, because they either have to own it and say, yes, we want to remove this many people from the planet, or they have to deny it and say, no, that's not what we believe. What they want to do is remove it from discussion. They want to behind the scenes promote this agenda, but not be required to answer for it. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
All right, back to the Alive, ladies and gentlemen. So they don't want to answer for the points made in the Georgia Guidestones. They don't want to discuss openly, candidly, that they want to remove 7.5 billion people from the planet. They don't want to answer for pushing us into a global tyranny at the expense of American sovereignty. They don't want to answer for their replacement of God with their own ideology and their own intentions. Okay, they can't handle an open discussion. They can't handle an assault on their ideas because they will lose the battle and lose the court of public opinion. And so their goal is to now get rid of the Georgia Guidestones, leave their agenda vague, and push for it behind the scenes where only their partners in crime are aware of exactly what they're doing. Publicly, they want to spin it Martin Luther King-esque, which is, I have a dream that we all live together in harmony, that we all have a stake in the outcome globally on the earth, and that we all live with Mother Earth in unison and balance of nature. And they want to spin these propaganda points to you in a very nice sounding way, as Martin Luther King did. But the evil is behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about that. All right, that's enough on the Georgia Guidestones, but a very strange happening since it was blown up. Why did they get rid of it so quick after the bomber? Why didn't they cordon it off and try to find out who the bomber was? You know, fingerprints, signatures of this or that. And you know, there's a lot of forensic that could have been done. But now that they've demolished the whole thing, there's no forensics that you can do. That is the biggest reason that I believe there's something more to this story than we're getting. It's not just some wacko blew it up and then, oh, golly, because it's partially standing now, it's unstable, it's unsafe, it's dangerous, we got to get rid of it. No. That's not how it works. They wanted the evidence gone, and my question is why. All right, moving on to the final topic of this broadcast. We're talking about our buddy Ben Swan. And we've told you for quite some time about vaccines, about a lot of these different things here. But he does a great job. Ben Swan breaks this stuff down in a real sense, a real meaningful way. What's the headline for this one, Cameron? Oh, yeah. Are psychiatric drugs related to these shootings? And psychiatric drugs. And I mentioned to you that they are. Now, Ben Swan just did another one on vaccines that I need to get to you, too. We'll do that one, and I guess, another day. This one, though, specifically relating to the shootings that have taken place over the last many years. And since these psychotropic drugs have been on the market and been literally dispensed like candy, it is just, the mayhem is beyond imagination. And how come we keep talking about taking guns away from the good guys, but we ignore this topic? How do we have a real conversation about these shootings without discussing this? Big Pharma won't let us discuss it. But again, this comes back to the McCarthyism. I bring this up. They say you're a whacked out conspiracy theorist. Nothing here. But listen to Ben Swan, and you make up your own mind on the reality check.
Let's start with a question. When it comes to the debate over mass shootings in America, why does the discussion always go toward tougher gun laws? And yet we're not talking about the role of antidepressants and other psychiatric medication. The truth, the connection between mass shooters and these meds is stunning. Let's give it a reality check you won't get anywhere else. And the link to psychiatric medication is deeply concerning. In 1989, 47-year-old Joseph T. Westbecker shot 20 workers in a Louisville, Kentucky factory, killing 9 people, just a month after he began taking Prozac. The drug maker Eli Lilly and Company later settled a lawsuit brought by survivors. 1998, 15-year-old Oregon school shooter Kip Kinkle, he opened fire in a school cafeteria. He was also on Prozac. 1999, Columbine killer Eric Harris was on Lovix, another antidepressant. Now, an important fact about Lovix. According to author David Kuplman from his book, How Evil Works, Lovix manufacturer Solvay Pharmaceuticals concedes that during short-term controlled clinical trials, 4% of children and youth taking Lovix, that's 1 in 25, developed mania, a dangerous and violence-prone mental derangement characterized by extreme excitement and delusion. Let's go back to that list of shooters again. In 2005, 16-year-old Jeff Weiss, living on Minnesota's Red Lake Indian Reservation, shot and killed 9 people and wounded 5 others before killing himself. Weiss had been taking Prozac. 2007, the Virginia Tech shooter had shot and killed 32 people. Officials found prescription medicine related to the treatment of psychological problems among his personal belongings. That according to the New York Times. 2012, Colorado theater shooter James Holmes, he was reportedly prescribed the antidepressant Zoloft. 2013, Navy Yard shooter Aaron Alexis sprayed bullets at office workers and in a cafeteria, killing 13 people, including himself. Alexis had been prescribed Trazodone by his Veteran Affairs doctor. 2014, Elliot Roger went on a shooting spree after stabbing 3 men to death. He had been prescribed psychotropic drugs, that according to the LA Times. 2017, Las Vegas shooter Stephen Paddock, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Paddock had been prescribed diazepam. Diazepam is known by its brand name, Valium. That's how most of us would know it. It's a sedative, hypnotic drug in the class of drugs which studies have shown can trigger aggressive behavior. Paddock received his prescription in June of 2017. Just months later, in October, he carried out the deadliest shooting in modern American history. Now, there are dozens of other examples here, but to be clear, we're not saying that absolutely prescription drugs are to blame for mass shootings. The underlying issues of mental health, though, that these shooters all seem to have are alarming. And knowing that the majority of them were prescribed antidepressants, you have to consider this. Some of the most alarming side effects of Prozac include suicidal thoughts, self-mutilation, and manic behavior. Zoloft can cause hallucinations, agitation, and memory problems. For Valium, it's also hallucinations, depression, and thoughts of suicide. These are dangers that drug makers themselves are required to disclose. Now, the use of antidepressants in America has skyrocketed. As of 2013, 12% of Americans were filling prescriptions for them. And while millions of people do not suffer violent episodes, the drug makers warn that some people may and do. Now, you've heard some of those warnings in the commercials that those pharmaceutical companies pay to run on mainstream media networks. According to the New York Times, 371,368 of those ads were shown in 2016. It's an increase of almost 65% over 2012. Pharmaceutical companies are estimated to spend $6.4 billion on direct-to-consumer advertising in 2016. That according to USA.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360. Brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline. Brought to you by Pfizer. Making a difference.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's the report from Ben Swan. And it's his reality check report. And it's brought to you by what? Drug companies? I find it kind of, it's a highlight to make the point, right? Look, ladies and gentlemen, these people are evil. And I agree with Ben Swan that, you know what, you can't say that because these people are all on psychotropic drugs that it's the only factor bringing them to the brink and committing these crimes. But you cannot deny the connection either. And you cannot have a discussion. Taking guns from the good guys is not the answer. The answer is to say, hey, you know what? How do we have a lot less people on these psychotropic drugs? How do we find a way when they're on these psychotropic drugs or have an episode, how they can be stopped? How we can work to make a difference here? Okay, but acknowledging the connection is the first step to solution, is it not? And I bring this up and everybody just dismisses it. The mainstream press, most of the time, withholds the psychotropic drug connection to these people. You know, they don't let you know that they're on these psychotropic drugs. This is something to be vetted and highlighted in every case, in my opinion. It's something that we really need to dig into and look at and be honest and fair about. But see, they're not willing to. Big Pharma doesn't want us to. And, okay, what other factors, and this is the real critical question now, what other factors are in conjunction with the psychotropic drugs? So you have psychotropic drugs, and then what other factors create this scenario? Is it when there's not a father and a mother in the home that are reliable and dependable for someone? Is it the inability to negotiate social situations with the opposite sex? You hear often these boys, you know what, can't get a girlfriend. Girls think they're weird. They're disenchanted with society and with women. Women seem wicked when you're alone is the way the Doors song goes to highlight the point. Or women seem wicked when you're unwanted is how it goes. And then you look at that and you say, wow. When you're unwanted and you're pushed to the brink of paranoia with these drugs, then what? So you're unwanted from your parents? You're unwanted from the opposite sex or whatever? Normal relations don't happen in life. You don't have solid friends. Okay, what are the factors that combined with this? Okay, you can start to then say, hey, how many of these teenagers are on these drugs? And then you start to look and say, how many of them have unstable home lives, unreliable parents? How many of them are bullied at school or treated unkindly around in life? How many of them have had episodes of acting out or mental illness or instabilities already? And you can start to narrow down, ladies and gentlemen, and almost predict, not with certainty, but with great guidance about which people are likely to take their aggressions, their hatred, their paranoia, their drug-induced false reality, right? And you can start to tell who are the likely suspects, who's going to go ballistic or crazy next. Now, I'm not saying that we take action preemptively, because that would violate people's rights. But I am saying, you know what? Rather than red flag laws, rather than locking down guns, rather than taking guns from the good guys and all the unconstitutional action they're considering, why don't we back into a discussion as I'm highlighting it, which says we can already tell you who's at greatest risk for this. It's the guy on psychotropic drugs. It's the guy who has an affinity for weapons. It's the guy who's acted out on social media already or to his friends and to his family. It's the guy who's got episodes and a track record in his life. It's the guy who doesn't have a normal family life, a stable family life. It's the guy that doesn't have the Christian religion in his life. It's the guy that can't make appropriate relations with the opposite sex in meaningful or sustainable ways. It's the guy who ends up being a loner and is mocked and ridiculed and struggling in school and bullied. And now, are these people evil people? In many cases, I don't believe they are. I think they're misguided and they don't have the love they need. They don't have the support they need. But when all those factors are gone and you add to that psychotropic drugs, then you add to that a possible provocateur around them, you've got a recipe for disaster. How come all this is being ignored, ladies and gentlemen, when it's so factual and so based in reality? I don't know. But I do know this. We better highlight it and stand up now if we want to win the culture war. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. I am Sam Bushman, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, RightyOnRadio.com. Spread the word, share the love, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips always. And we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.